All right. Good morning, everyone, again. Strap in, because here we go. We've got approximately 20 minutes, a little less. So Romans chapter 13, we'll be finishing that up this morning. Verses 8 to 14, we want to finish that chapter and then move into chapter 14 next week. And we're getting close to the end here. There's 16 chapters if you haven't looked ahead. And 15 we're going to take as a whole chunk. 16 we'll take as a whole chunk, I think is how I broke it up. And we'll be done by Advent and some different things in between there. So we want to continue on that. We've been on a journey. If you're visiting with us, we've been on a journey since last September, going through the book of Romans and looking at what the gospel is and how that impacts our lives and what it means that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and how when we put our faith in him, what that means for us, how that changes our hearts, how that changes our lives. And looking at, as Paul said in chapter 12, at the beginning of chapter 12, in view of God's mercies, these are the mercies that God has given to, really to all of humanity, if we'll simply receive it. It's there, it's free, it's out of God's love that we've talked about this morning, that we can have that free gift if we'll simply receive it. And it's for all people. And Paul has laid out in great detail and in great length just how great that gospel is, how great that is, and how deeply that impacts our lives if we'll simply receive that. And so we're into the practical part as we've gotten into 12 and 13 here, and looking at practically how that then is lived out for us, or through us and in us, and what our life should look like if we consider ourselves to be those who have received the gospel, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, what that life should look like. So I'm gonna read this passage for us in just a second, but let's just pray real quick and open our hearts to the Spirit this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word again. I thank you for what has been shared this morning about how you are using your word in the camp, how in the Ten Commandments our kids learn to love you and to love others, Father, that you have laid out from the beginning what it means to have a relationship with you, and that has been your desire. That's why you created Adam and Eve, so that they would walk with you, that they would worship you, that they would know you, that they would follow you. And Father, I praise you for that, and I thank you that though we chose sin and rebellion against you, that you chose love and grace and to give Jesus Christ up on the cross for us. And I thank you for that. And I pray as we look at what that means for our lives, if we are believers, if our faith is in Jesus, what that means for our lives today. And I just pray that your Spirit would lead us and speak to us and challenge us and use it to make us more like Christ this morning, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 13, verses 8 to 14. I will read quickly and then we'll work our way through it here. So it says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." When I left Bible school a few years ago, I had student loans that I had accumulated over the 4 years. And due to some decisions that I made after that, I went from Bible school assuming and believing that I was going into the pastorate. knowing really in my heart that that's what I was called to, but attempt after attempt ended up failed. Whether it was a rejection or never really going anywhere, I continued for really about 5.5 years seeking God's will in that, praying, crying out, struggling with. But in that, I made some decisions. One was to work for the city right after I left Bible school, which was a short-term thing, and it was good. I enjoyed it. I got to work outside all the time, weed-whipping things, which was all right. But it only went up to November. Come November, I decided that I would move to Saskatoon with some friends and try to make life there with a job that paid me, I think, $7 an hour with student loans and really nothing else to my belonging except for a car. And that lasted about 2 months before I realized that would not last. It wouldn't work. And so I had to move back to Swift Current. Again, with my head kind of hanging low, with student loans hanging over me, unable to really make a payment. They were coming due, I think, right about then when I moved back. And eventually, I found myself in some financial trouble, looking for employment, being probably a little too picky at that time. I found myself indebted for these loans and unable to pay them back, which led me to my super wonderful job at KFC that lasted for about 4 years. That helped me pay off that student loan. Not fully at that point, but pay off a lot of it. But my indebtedness to those student loans, because of those decisions I made, really, in the end, ended up controlling my life in a lot of ways. I struggled in many ways to be able to move forward. It took a number of years. I don't know if we weren't married long, maybe 4 or 5 years into our marriage, I finally paid it off. And that was one of the most exciting, other than my marriage, one of the most exciting days of my life, to be free of that debt. But it controlled me, and I was stuck. And I couldn't help but work at KFC in order to have some money. There was nothing else opening to me. There was nothing else I could do. I had to do that. And so I am, in that sense, thankful for that job and the jobs that followed that helped me to be able to get stabilized in that way. But when I finally got to the place where I could pay off that student loan, I felt like I finally had freedom. That what had been hanging over me for so long, that had controlled a lot of the decisions I could make and where I could go with my life, was finally gone. And I had such freedom. And I believe in our passage this morning that really what Paul is saying, though love seems to be the primary word or emphasis in this passage, what Paul is really laying out for us is our freedom as believers in Christ and what that freedom should look like. That he's really laying out that our life should be a life that is free. And so he says, owe no one anything. In fact, with that, he ties us back into the first part of Romans 13, where he says, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. Because I believe that for us, whether it's financial indebtedness or whether it's one of these other ways, that indebtedness, if it is not paid back, can become a barrier to our faith and our relationships. Paul isn't here saying that we shouldn't have debt. That's not his point. He's saying that if we do owe anything to anyone, whether it's to a bank or to our neighbor, that we are to pay that back. Because if we don't, that indebtedness can become a barrier to our faith and our relationships and our witness. And Paul has just laid out, as I read for us, that our lack of subjection to governing authorities was not only a matter of wrath or of incurring their judgment, but also of our conscience. That in other words, when we don't subject to them and give them the honor that is due, that is also affects our relationship with God. That our relationship to our governing authorities, to those who God has put over us, affects how our relationship is with him. And it is the same if we're not paying back our debt to whoever it is. That we are disobeying God because he has laid out for us here that we should not owe anyone anything, but we should pay it back. And not only can it affect our relationship with God, but it ultimately can affect our relationship with others. in a smaller city like ours, if we don't pay our taxes to the city, if we dishonor the RCMP, if we don't give back what we borrow from our neighbor, it's not long before that is known. And it shouldn't matter that we're in a smaller city or a smaller community and others might know. It should be just the reality for us that we always pay what we owe, that we always look to give back what we borrow, that we never have outstanding debts that we cannot pay back. And I think what Paul is saying here simply is that these things, these taxes or revenue or honor or respect should be things that are just automatic for us as believers. These are the simple, almost kind of duh things, or they should be for us as believers, because we're called to even more. Because these things will hold us back if we are not paying them back, if we're not giving honor and respect, if we're not giving back to our neighbor, if we're not showing kindness and care to them, if we're holding things back, that those things not only affect our relationship with them, but also to God. And it holds us back from what God has ultimately called us to, and that is love. That these things are, if you will, simple actions that we are to fulfill in order that we can be free to love. And so we need to be free from, I should turn that on, I guess, free from debt in order that we can be free to love. That's why Paul goes on and says, owe no one anything except to love each other. Paul wants us to understand that our debts, respect, honor, those are the simple things that we should give to people as a sign of our call to love them. That whether it's to our governing authorities or to our neighbor next door, that really what all these actions are to point to is our love to God, for God, and our love for them. That these simple actions that should just be the reality calls us to something more. In fact, as we saw at the end of chapter 12, when Paul calls us to have genuine love, that love was for all people, whether they're enemies, whether they're persecuting us, whether they're our friends, our neighbors, whether they're each other within the body of Christ, that our love is to be for all people. No matter who they are, no matter what they are doing, no matter whether they're perfect, no matter whether we agree with the laws that they put in place, that we are called to these things and we are ultimately called to love them. In 1970, our government of that time put in what we now call hate speech laws. Laws that restricted anyone from saying anything that would incite hate against someone of religion, of race, of creed, I can't remember what the other two were, but looking to protect those who might be marginalized, those who would be outside. And in 2017, they added those who would be part of the gender fluidity and expressions. And in that, they are looking to, as I said, protect those who might be on the fringe, who might not be able to protect themselves. Now, we know that in that we have struggled as believers in Christ to some degree, because what does that mean? And the threat to us, the possible threat to us, I should say, is that it takes away our freedom to believe. Now, at this point, we're free from that. We're safe of that. It actually, if you read through them, it does protect us in having religious beliefs and being able to say it, as long as we're not inciting hate against a group. But what I want to point out to this is that in Paul's call to be people who not only pay what we owe, but love others, that this hate speech law should ultimately never be a problem for us. We as believers are never called to hate anyone. We're called, as we saw in chapter 12, to abhor evil, but never to hate anyone. That if there's any group in this society that should show love, it should be us. That as long as it's not calling us to give up what we believe, as long as we're still free to believe that we are created male and female, that marriage is between a male and female, that we believe that is what God has created and sustained, that's
We're free to do that. But it should never lead us to hate. It should lead us simply to love. And Paul says that we are indebted to love others. Why are we indebted to love others? Because Christ loves us. That's what John said, right? In 1 John, we love others because he first loved us. That God has perfectly loved us, though we were sinners, though we were those who were separated from him, though we were broken, though we rebelled against him, God loved us. And if there's anyone, as I said, if there's anyone that should love others, it should be us. I have friends who are continually putting on Facebook articles and statements against those who are Muslims, those who are gay, those who are in government. They're continually putting what I would almost consider hate speech at times. In fact, one of my friends even had his post removed because it was that negative. That should never come from us as believers. Paul says we're indebted to love, not hate. We're not the moral police. We're indebted to Christ for love. We're not called to make sure everyone's living exactly right. We're called to love them because God loved us first. But because he gave his son even when we weren't living right, when we weren't living moral lives, when we were sinful and living contrary to him. And Paul says, our call as believers in Christ is to love. That freedom from debt of owing anyone anything and freedom to love comes in knowing what Christ has done for us. And we are called to love other people. And he says here, except to love each other. The context is not talking about us as believers. It's tying us back into chapter 12 where he's calling us to love all people. It's not just for you and me to love each other. That's part of it. And we'll see as we get into 14 how more clearly we're supposed to do that. But Paul is calling us to love, to live in love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. We're called ultimately to love. To love others, and to love God. And Paul says here, as he says in Galatians chapter 5, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, in loving, we live out what God has commanded from the beginning. That Lorraine sang about those 10 commandments that teach us how to love God and love others. When we are able to live out a life of love, we are fulfilling all of those. That we're showing that we love God, that we're showing that we love our neighbors. And ultimately, Paul calls us to be free from sin. That the two things that can pull us away from being people who love is to be indebted to other people and not paying it back, and to live in sin. In Galatians 5, verse 1, Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Paul says here, it's time to wake up. He says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. It's time for us to wake up and be serious about our faith. It's time for us to wake up and know that the only thing that matters in this life is our faith and life in Jesus Christ. That the only thing that matters is that out of us is coming a life and heart of love for others. We tend in North America to take our faith too lightly, see it as just one thing, one part of our life. But Paul reminds us that time is getting short. If you want to really be challenged by this, listen to Paul Washer's sermon to the Southern Baptist youth in their evangelism conference. I listened to it this week. Oh my goodness. I felt convicted that I was not praying enough. That I was not seeking God enough, that love was not true enough in my heart, that I was not following God the way that he calls me to, that I was not doing what he has done for me. I've not been sharing that with others. It's not about saying a prayer and getting ourselves into heaven. It's about following Jesus. He says we need to be serious about our faith because time is getting short. Time is running out. He says, cast off the work of darkness and put on the armor of light. Later on in Galatians 5, verse 13, Paul says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." When we live in sin and indebtedness to others, we are not free to love. And Paul says, I believe he's laying out for us here, that a sign that we are truly being transformed and renewed by God's word is when we see our lives filled with love. Filled with love for even those who hate us. Even for those who might persecute us. Who might try to restrict our freedoms. Who might try to hold us back, who might see us as the enemy that we are called to love. And when we make provision for the flesh, when we seek our own desires and our own will, when we live in indebtedness to others without ever paying it back, these things all hold us from the freedom that Christ has given us by dying on the cross and rising again, the freedom to love. And when we're not free to love, we're walking in disobedience with God and with his word and what he's called us to as believers. And so Paul, at the end of this passage, simply says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, I believe he pulls us back to Romans chapter 12, verses 2, where he calls us to transformation through renovation, renewing your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know the will of God. This isn't just go out into the world and act like you love people. It's being transformed by the word and by the Spirit of God that I've talked about. We can't love in this way. We can't live sinless lives without the power of the Holy Spirit, without being renewed by God's word. We cannot follow him if we're not willing to spend time with him and to hear from him and to walk with him and to be changed by him. This is not a call to morality. This is a call to faith and life and walk with Jesus. That's what Paul wants us to see. And when our lives are transformed and changed, we can walk in the freedom to love. Freedom from sin. Freedom from indebtedness. Freedom to love others and to love God with all of our heart and all of our lives. And that's what Paul is calling us to in this passage. And we need to look at our lives. We need to evaluate our hearts. We need to be in God's word so he can change us and make us more like Christ. We need to allow his Holy Spirit to convict us where we're wrong, where we're off, where we're not loving, and to be simply changed by him. And that's what Paul is calling to us to in all of Romans, in view of God's mercy. Follow him. Follow Jesus. Be changed by him. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, and then kids, you can just head right out to your Sunday school classes, adults as well, and we'll just close our time, and then we can head right off because we're a little bit later than usual. Okay, let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, we need you so deeply in our hearts. If we look at our lives, if we look at the reality of how we live from day to day, if I look at my own heart and my own life and how far I can be away from you, how prone to wander I can be, how unloving my life can be, my actions can be, my words can be, Father, I need you. I need your spirit. I need your word. I need to be changed by you. Father, help us to take that seriously. Help us not to see it as one part of our life. Let us see it as all of our life. Change us, renew us, make us more like Christ. Father, I pray for our teaching time now in Sunday school. I pray that you would use that time to do that in us, to change us, to show us your truth from the youngest age up to us as the oldest adult. Change us. Make us more like Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one other reminder, this Thursday, we're having a prayer time here at 7:30 for the election coming up for our nation. There'll be a little bit of worship as well in that, so please come and be a part of that as well. All right, God bless people. Have a great week. And kids, you can head out.